Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. How you get your IT project done and how well you get it done has been challenging for a lot of agencies. One of the people who is thinking about that and now writing about it in Government Computer News is Larry Albert. He's president of the healthcare practice at Agilex Technologies and a Navy man. There's no such thing as a former Navy man, right, Larry?
That's correct, Francis.
You're always a Navy man. And before we went on the air, we had a chance to talk about the merits of the triple option offense at the Naval Academy. And I wish we were doing a football show, but we are talking about getting these IT projects done. And it really has been challenging for agencies. What do you think is the single number one most challenging issue for agencies trying to finish IT projects?
I guess, Francis, I would start with, for me, the most challenging and frankly frightening thing has always been answering the one question, where are we?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially in big projects, the longer they go on, the harder it is to really have a strong answer to that. I mean, we go through management schemes like EVMS and the such, and you have great documentation, but do you really know where you are?
Mm-hmm. I guess another big question that gets asked a lot, and unfortunately people don't always know the answer to, is what do we really want it to do, or what does it have to do? And those are two separate questions that don't necessarily have the same answer, right?
No question. I mean, so many times the customer, the users, and the supporting contractor, you put a tremendous effort into defining the system requirements, but you can only take that so far until you actually see the working code. So you see the GUI, and you're sitting there, and you're using it to, you know, implement whatever business process you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you go, you know, that's not exactly what we need to do.
We talk a lot on this program about requirements and the problems that agencies have in determining their requirements and changing those requirements after the award of the contract and in the middle of projects and on and on and on. You addressed that in the piece that you wrote for GCN this week that we'll have linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. There are some failures that you write about, failure to identify and correct problems early in the process, respond effectively to subsequent changing requirements, incorporate lessons learned and other improvements into the final project. Those three all seem to come out of this idea that we're not sure what we have now, we're not sure what we want our new thing to do, and as the new process starts, as you said, where are we? How do we lock those down while still allowing some flexibility in a project to be able to have it flex a little bit?
Well, and I think that is the exact issue, Francis, that drove folks to start looking at the whole concept of agile development. Because, I mean, no question, in an ideal world, you want to be able to lock down the requirements. I don't think that's entirely realistic. Now, by no question, there's no absolutes. And there are some communities where you can say, this is it, it's frozen. But I think you even look at manufacturing is moving to where they are softening up their whole process and trying to give themselves more flexibility. So if we want more flexibility in bending steel, we certainly need to look at how do we do it in building software. And with the whole agile approach, what it really does is it tries to sit there and say, okay, what do I know absolutely I can lock down if I want to? And it says, let's lock down our schedule and our cost.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's take a look at our requirements. And it doesn't sit there, you know, and you're not ignoring, you know, having any kind of regiment in the definition of your requirements. But what I want to do is I want to take a look at this large system, and I want to start breaking it down into digestible, I'll use a real technical term here, chunks.
Mm-hmm.
and break it down into chunks that I can work and deliver. Now that sounds pretty simplistic. There are a couple nuances that really start, from my opinion, releasing, and I don't want to get theatrical, but, you know, if you will, the real power, the strength of an agile approach. And so I've got this large system I want to build. Here's my list of requirements, as well defined as I can get them at this point in time. And then what I want to do is I want to prioritize them, because all requirements are not created equal.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to lock down my schedule, and if I'm going to accept the premise that there's a real possibility for change in these requirements over time, and I may need to add something, or once I see something, I may want to change it, because that's not exactly, I know that's what I said, but that's not what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a zero-sum game, and if I add requirements, some of the requirements I started with, I may not get to.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do then is make sure I start with my most valuable requirements at the top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
And what this suddenly starts allowing me to do is generate value in this journey of building this system very early on. And the other thing that I want to do with these small chunks of this system, and I'm going to be breaking it down into, we'll call them sprints, and we're going to take 2 to 4 weeks, and I've seen some people do it in as short as 1 week, and that takes my breath away, but in couple-week sprints. And what I'm going to do, so I've got, and I've worked with the customer, so the customer becomes, if you will, your product owner.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, here is this enormous list of all my requirements. Now I've prioritized them. And so then I'm going to start at the very top of that, and I'm going to start building over a 2 to 4 week sprint that the software that represents those features, those requirements. And the other piece that becomes critical is I'm not just going to build it. I'm going to test it. And so that at the end of that sprint, what I'm giving to that customer is by no means their system, but they have a sliver of that system that has not only been built, but has been tested. And from my perspective, it is, if you will, a shippable product. And what you do is you start working with that customer. Every 2 weeks, I'm giving them another chunk of feature functionality. And we're demonstrating it. We're exercising it together. And they're seeing the system evolve and grow right before their eyes. It's not, I think I'm 33% done because I'm 33% through the calendar.
Right.
And same through my budget. They can see the system growing and evolving. And what we do at the end of that sprint is we interact and we say, okay, is that doing everything we want it to do? And then we take a look and we go back to the list of priorities and we say, is that still solid? Or are there some changes in what we've built that we want to move into that list? And so we have a highly interactive relationship with the customer. That's another one of the most valuable aspects of this. Matter of fact, that customer interaction is more than just every 2 weeks. In this methodology, I have sprint teams. And you can have, for large programs, you can have 6, 8, 10, 12, or more teams. But these teams have an assigned a list of a couple of those feature requirements for this product. They're building them. Every day, for about 15 minutes, that sprint team comes together. Because at the beginning of the sprint, first off, the whole team looks at what their assignment is, and they go, yep, in the next 2 weeks, we can build that. And, you know, obviously, in 2 weeks, you're not talking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a very tightly defined piece of code.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's also important, what does done mean?
Yeah.
Okay, because, and I'll come back to that, but I want to hold that thought, because back to my earliest comment, where am I? Knowing what is done helps me define that.
All right, let's hold off for a minute and explore that when we come back from the break. And I also want to talk about why you think agencies have been averse. It seems there's kind of been a transformation, a trend toward the kind of project development, project management that you're talking about. And I want to see what your thoughts are about exploring that mindset when we come back from the break. My guest is Larry Albert, president of the healthcare practice at Agilex Technologies on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Continue our conversation in just a moment.
What will happen to your hard-earned wealth after you die? How do you protect your assets for your family? Will your heirs squander it away? Will creditors and predators try to take it away from your loved ones? At Zelle Law, our goal is to give you peace of mind in planning for your retirement and beyond by helping you construct the best life and estate plans customized to your needs. Find out what you need to know on Blueprint for Wealth. Join me, Wayne Zelle, Saturdays at 10 a.m. right here on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio.
Ability. What is the Naval Information Dominance Strategy? How is the U.S. Navy introducing bold, game-changing strategies and concepts for the next generation? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these and other questions with Vice Admiral Jack Dorsett, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance and Director of Naval Intelligence, next week. That's next week on The Business of Government Hour.
Today, you're tasked with protecting America's networks from cyber attack, training the next generation of cyber top guns, keeping sensitive data safe and secure, and getting to your daughter's soccer game by 6. If you're in government, your cyber to-do list is challenging. Turn to Deloitte. We have the people, insight, and experience to help you address pressing cyber issues and help government help America. Insights and opportunities at Deloitte.com/federal.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
John James is director of the National Security Personnel System Transition Office.
Under the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, we have some authorities in there to develop the new system. Those authorities include an enterprise-wide performance management system, hiring flexibilities, and a workforce incentive fund. We've just begun working with our labor partners to develop a team to address those authorities.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Larry Albert is president of the healthcare practice at Agilex Technologies, my guest for this half hour of In-Depth with Francis Rose. And among his other credentials, he was involved with the design, development, and deployment of ALTA at the Department of Defense. So when it comes to IT projects, he knows of what he speaks. And we were talking before the break, Larry, about the idea of project management and project development, and you used the concept of the idea of chunking, referring to agile software development and agile project development. And I'm seeing more people on the IT side in agencies that are interested in that approach, and Vivek Kundra and Anish Chopra have talked about that, and Roger Baker has done some pretty innovative things at VA in that realm. Is the structure at agencies prepared all the way around for that kind of thing, or are there some other parts of operations at agencies that kind of need to get with this program a little bit?
No, and you're spot on, Francis, where the issue is, because we're seeing more and more of the business leaders and the IT leaders in the agencies embracing the idea of a incremental build, and seeing working software as opposed to documentation as their system is being built. Where we're running into trouble is on the acquisition and contracting side of the house. And what we have is, on that side of the house, you have decades of inertia, and they're not, resistant to change, but it's just they're used to awarding contracts where there's a preliminary system design and a system design document, steps, just a very much the old waterfall approach.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a agile development approach, your design, your architecture, a lot of that is evolving as you go forward. Now, some agencies are getting fairly contemporary, And they're sitting there and they're looking at, all right, then let's have a draft system architecture and let's evolve that with each release, you know, every, you know, quarterly. That'll become part of your deliverable to update that. But for the most part, folks are, that tends to be right now the biggest obstacle is how do we structure a contract that gives the contracting acquisition side of the house the feeling that they have the level of accountability that they want, and at the same time gives the IT and business side of the house the ability to see that incremental, you know, really measurable growth in the system.
Mm-hmm. What has to happen inside the agencies for that transformation on the acquisition side of things to work the way that you're talking about?
Well, I think, you know, there have been a couple agencies that are embracing this. The work we recently completed working with the Office's National Coordinator, part of the Federal Health Architecture folks, and they structured their contracts to embrace this. And what we've been trying to do is take some of these sample contracts and share them with folks and then get the, you know, it's going to start at the top with the leadership because it's going to take folks, you know, such as Mr. Baker, to sit there and go to his TAC and sit there and say, all right, this is the way we're going to be building software in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I need contracts that reflect, you know, that type of a process and give you the control you want, but give my IT house and my business people the flexibility they need. But it's going to, it is not going to be a business as usual. It's going to take a fairly significant change to the whole contracting methodology and mindset.
That's interesting to hear you say that, because that approach is something that I think people talk about the need for a lot more. And yet we don't see, I think, enough of it happen at agencies, and that is where, yes, we want collaboration, we want input from a lot of sources, but at some point, somebody has to say, okay, we've considered this, and we've had panels, and we've reviewed, and on and on and on. Now, starting today, this is how it's going to have to be done in order to achieve the results that we want.
No question. And, you know, and I'm by no means trying to say that Agile is a silver bullet, but I think it attacks a lot of the directions, you know, where, you know, OMB is really trying to look and see, you know, federal IT programs move in, and we have to come up with the contracting flexibility to allow us to implement them.
And I'm not even necessarily referring to agile development when I talk about the need for a definitive decision and course of action to be taken, but I have a lot of folks say, you know, we spend a lot of time at my agency deciding how something's going to be done and not nearly as much time actually executing the mission, executing the project.
You know, exactly, and again, that's one of the things that I've, and I don't want to sound like an agile zealot, but one of the things that's made my life so much better is seeing my team putting a lot more energy into building code.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see and show to the customer working code as opposed to, you know, volumes of documentation.
Right.
And I'm not saying you don't need documentation. I just value working code first.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes, and I've seen in the customers we work with, some of them will start off very skeptical when you explain what you're going to do. And
mm-hmm.
they're look at you like you're speaking Mandarin Chinese. You know, they're going, wait, no.
Yeah.
I want you to guarantee me I'm going to get everything.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to have it at this point in time. But just about uniformly, Francis, after about 2 months through the process, they start understanding and seeing, you know, their product growing and evolving in the whole collaborative nature of it, and then they become just our biggest fans.
Larry Alberts, president of the healthcare practice at Agilex Technologies, my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Be back to wrap up our conversation about IT project development and getting your project going well, keeping it on track, and completing it well when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Why does a waiting room have to feel like a waiting room? And does a stress test have to be so stressful? At Kaiser Permanente, we don't think it does, and we've made the changes to prove it. With brand new state-of-the-art facilities opening all around the Mid-Atlantic, like the Kaiser Permanente Capitol Hill Medical Center, we're poised to become the leader in healthcare for the D.C. and Baltimore area. With easier access to primary and specialty care, full-service radiology, lab tests, and pharmacy services, we're offering more choices than ever before. Our staff of top-notch physicians is growing by more than 200, providing greater access to care. And our innovative electronic medical records allow members to view their own medical history 24/7. Plus, members can email their doctor's office, check most lab results, refill prescriptions, and even choose their primary care and OBGYN, all online. The future in healthier care is already here. Find it at kp.org/midatlantic. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
As government and commercial companies continue to improve their business processes, they're finding that IT requirement analysis, market reviews, product selection, and ongoing operations are taxing the resource base of their employees. TMR is here to help. TMR provides enterprise architecture, governance, and IT operational support to ensure our customers' IT investments are aligned with specific business goals, objectives, and capital investment strategies. For more details, visit TMR at tmrhq.com or call 703-323-1700.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The government of Yemen is trying to put down a branch of al-Qaeda that's attacked Western and regional targets in the country next to the oil giant, Saudi Arabia. It's also believed to be the home of radical cleric Anwar al-Awlaki. Yemeni authorities have offered a reward of up to $50,000 for information about the whereabouts of two Saudi terrorists, Turki al-Shahrani and Ahmed al-Jasser. Yemeni aircraft have also bombed al-Qaeda positions in southern Yemen. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, you automatically think of money? Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Airink comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.
The March of Dimes and FC Innova will honor women in the tech field who make a difference in their communities at the 10th Annual Heroines in Technology Gala, Friday, November 12th at the Hyatt Regency Reston. From CEOs to entrepreneurs, these women exemplify volunteerism in our community. The keynote speaker will be Dr. Betty Spence, president of the National Association of Female Executives. To learn more about the nominees and to purchase tickets, please visit marchofdimes.com/metrodc. Proceeds will help prevent birth defects, premature birth, and infant mortality.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking about agile software development and project development with Larry Albert, who is president of the healthcare practice at Agilex Technologies. And before the break, Larry, you were talking about some resistance that you run into sometimes at agencies using this technique and this theory. How do you break through that and get people to change their mindsets? I'm interested not so much just from an agile development point of view, but just a kind of a change management point of view of how you get people to break out of ruts, quite frankly, because the argument a lot of times is, well, we do it this way because that's how we've always done it, and yet the high risk list is full of projects that were done because that's the way they were because that's how they've always been done.
Fair. Excellent question. And I think, Francis, the biggest impediment to change is fear, because I don't want to go someplace where I don't know what's going to happen. And so to attack that fear, what I typically look to do is to engage one of my previous customers and get them to speak with the potential customer and just explain how well the whole methodology worked for them. So, mm-hmm. All right, so this has worked really well, you know, within the Veterans Administration, within HHS, within Blue Cross Blue Shield, this sort of thing. And the second thing is Agile, by its very nature, is heavily metric-driven. So we collect a lot of data. Matter of fact, the same data that I use to manage where we are, we publish to a wiki, and my customers can see that, 7x24. And we sit there and show them, you know, that we are right now on average delivering code that is 25-30% fewer defects than best-in-class software. We do that because we use test-driven development. So we're not just building the code, we're mm-hmm. building the automated test scripts at the same time. But if you can show someone a high-quality product, at least product potential, and a low risk from the fact that, all right, you've done million line of code systems for this customer and that customer, then their anxiety level starts to drop.
Larry, it's great to talk to you, and your piece in GCN this week is titled What Agile Software Development Can Do for Government. And even if you're not interested in agile development per se, just the thought process is, I think, very valuable and instructive. And so I will link this piece up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and I commend it to anybody that's interested in that kind of thing. And I'm grateful for your time to come on the show and talk about it today.
My pleasure, Francis. Thanks a lot.
Hey, Larry Albert, president of the healthcare practice at AgileX Technologies on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And that will wrap up today's in-depth program. Tomorrow's in-depth program between 1 and 3 includes the Federal News Countdown, as it does every week on the Friday show. Tomorrow's Federal News Countdown includes Federal News Radio's Dorabeck Insider will be on the show, as well as Bill Bransford, partner of the law firm Shaw, Bransford & Roth, tomorrow at 2 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And the Dorabeck Insider, in fact, is next between 3 and 7 today. Thanks for listening.